this up.
Sir, they're about to go nuclear. How long do we have? They're 2 weeks away. How 2 weeks away are they? Even more 2 weeks away than they were 5 years ago. My God! That's dangerous levels of 2 weeks away. I know. Son, if anything happens to me, continue my work. We're only 2 weeks away. I will continue, inshallah. Now I'll go to where no one can find me. My office on the third floor, right by that really big window.
Vengeance!
Sir, if we attack, they will close the Strait of Hormuz. They don't have the balls to close the Strait of Hormuz. They just closed the Strait of Hormuz. And oil is now over $100 a barrel. Please keep me out of this. No one likes this war. And I want to be president one day. Into my trap. Sometimes the best reason for war is no reason at all.
Straight out of Hormuz.
There we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Henrik. Hope you're doing well today. It is Thor's today. Let the hand rubbing begin. You know, you never know what's going to happen next here with the Iran war. No plan. Nothing whatsoever. But, you know, they'll send in the troops, though. You know it. It's going to be a disaster. I'm going to talk with Matt Bracken about that a little bit tomorrow. Mark Holler will join us tomorrow as well for Flashback Friday, because the lady over there is unavailable. But we're glad to have you here
well,
now.
You said Thursday. How about some hammer thrashing at this point, huh? Yeah, I like the AI movies. They're very entertaining. And it's like it summarizes everything just perfectly. It's comedy and it's a horror show all at the same time. It's like we're laughing, but this is really happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's still AI slop, and I'm kind of against it. I did notice though. I mean, the few AI
come
services.
Come on,
that
you
I,
were laughing.
No, no,
you
it's well. Laughing. I mean, it's that's the person who did the prompts. Well done, you know. Yes. Obviously, right? But like,
it's the people behind it, obviously.
I did notice, like, you know, we talked about the energy crisis, right? Be it artificial or even exacerbated, as we know, because of the green transition agenda that hasn't gone away. They'll come down the pipeline as well, go over to EV vehicles, you know. Deindustrialization, these kinds of things. But I did notice Sora shut down their activity, and I noticed Google's, what is it called, Flow, or is it VO? I don't know. Flow, I think, is the service that they offer, but under that you have a bunch of different AI services like Nano Banana and I think VO or something. Anyway, that's like, oh, due to high demand, it might not work right now. And it's like, is it some energy?
Yeah.
is that what's going on?
Or people are making little films like that, and they don't like it.
So I couldn't make a movie like that, or a clip or film, a small video segment like that with the tools I'm currently using, because they ban you from using famous people's faces. So you try to upload these properties to make characters in them, and I can't.
Someone's doing it.
Well, obviously, yeah. So I don't know which services they use. Everything I'm trying so far, it's like, just did a prompt today for the thumbnail, right? So this one here, I know, AI slop or whatever, but it's like, okay, I have a good idea. That'll happen fast. It'll come together real quick, right? Make a bomb that has like
that's North, full of nons in it.
Middle Easterners, Indians, and Sub-Saharan Africans, and they're packed tight like sardines, right? The first one I did was this one, and for some reason that worked. And then it's like, yeah, it's not kind of good enough. I wanted the bomb to be vertical, straight down, and like just jam-packed with them, full in there. And then it was like, this is a hate speech violation.
Yeah, because this kind of just looks like, oh, they're on a little space journey.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's meant to be a bomb, right? But
they're going to get a tour of which white country they're going to go live in right now.
They are the weapon. That's the point.
Yes, the exactly. Bioweapon.
That's the war. Hence the title of the show here today, right? The war is here at home.
Yes.
All over the West. That's where the war is. That's where the focus should be. Identify the enemy, find out who's attacking us, and start defending ourselves. That's what has to be done.
Yeah.
Right. But it's only Israel that has a right to defend itself, as we know. It's only them. No one else.
Meanwhile, in the background, you know, the anti-whiteness keeps continuing, right? It may not be mainstream coverage. Everyone's not covering the woke agenda as much as they used to, but
it'll be back.
Still happening, and the banning and censorship is still happening. And with that, I should say that Entropy has been debanked. They're having issues.
Do not use Entropy.
Because there was some dumb documentary that came out about, you know, raising money off of hate and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they're having issues. So a lot of us have not received any payments since February 10th. So they're scrambling to try and find an alternative.
Well, the last payout was for January. Sure, it came in February, but so that's almost two months now coming up on the second
exactly.
month here.
So, and a lot of us rely on this, and it's important and important stuff. And so that's still happening.
So the mistake they made was that they just didn't contact people right away and say, oh, sorry, it's shut down or whatever. So people kept, you know, otherwise we would have gone for another option or something like that. So that's just, you know, thousands of dollars frozen right now. So anyway, I whined about this yesterday, but I'll bring it up again. You know, I'm pissed about how they handle it. If it was just due to the censorship, it's not their fault. We've been there. We know how these things go. It's unfortunate, but that's part of the dissident, you know, journey right now. It's such fun. Anyway, but they should have handled it differently by just contacting people right away. And we reached out, I think, a week and a half before we heard back. Yeah. You had sent, I don't know how many emails.
Five, six emails.
Seven emails.
They said something about, oh, well, we had it on our Discord. I went over there, okay, and I didn't see anything.
I don't use Discord.
I don't use it either.
I didn't know that. I have one lead for developers, I think, on Discord or something. But anyway, okay. Regardless.
It's unfortunate, you know.
So we're not using that. So we're trying a couple of different things.
It's hard enough for people just to get by, and then we have these extra layers of just trying to get the money that we did make to keep this operation going lights on and the
It's only so long you can keep it afloat, you know what I mean, until like, okay, we've got bills too, like everyone else does. So you gotta kind of your
energy bills going up, everything
money,
going up.
You see that money coming in, it's like you count on that being there, obviously then, and then 2 months goes by and there's nothing. What happened, you know? Anyway, so that's what it is. They handle this in a bad way. So right now we're using donorbox.org/redicetips. Now the plus with that is, it's not Entropy. There's not like an account like that. So it's not the same thing. I know people don't like using new things. It's always hard to get people over or something like that. But if you are dedicated in supporting us, like King Albert, he sent another one. I'll read his in a moment. Thank you, Albert. You're a lifesaver.
Anyway, seriously.
The majority of it will go to us, as opposed to if you do use like Rumble or something, you know, because if you use that with an app, they take like, you know, Apple take like 30 if you have an Apple phone, and then Rumble takes 20, I think, or something. So it's like 50 gone right away. But obviously, if you don't want to use DonorBox, you can use powerchat.live/redice, or you can use on Rumble, obviously. Cointree is an option there as well.
And we're setting up Coffee, which I know some people are using as well, which will have overlays on the screen.
They do have overlays?
They do have some overlay available. So I know some folks are using that with success. So
hopefully we shall see. Hopefully the fees are not too bad there.
And with that, King Albert over on DonorBox. Hi, guys. Hope everyone is having a great week. Excellent Western Warrior this week. Going to watch this after work along with the stream from yesterday. Take care. Love you guys, Albert. Back at you, man.
King Albert. Whoa. Thank you, sir. Yes. As always, incredible. He's an amazing supporter. We love you. Thank you so much, Albert. You're incredible.
Yeah. Angel
King,
in the chat.
King Albert slaying some monsters and some demons, some vampires, some Nosferatu rabbis. We got some good stuff there. So anyway, so if you do want to use, you can actually reach this same thing if you go to redice.tv/tips, or you can go to donorbox.org/redicetips. Either way, doesn't matter, but that's what I'm showing on screen. And I'm showing it so people like see how it looks, because it's like, oh, I don't know how to use this. This is complicated, whatever. Custom amount there if you want to do that. And just check that little write us a comment box right there. And then you can just put your message in there and we'll see it. And you don't even have to use it when you get to the next, you know, you get to the next page. I'm not sure what the link, pay with link. I'm not sure what that is actually. it's their internal, I think, or something. But if you just click next instead, you can obviously use, you know.
They have crypto options too, so we'll look at that.
Yeah, but you don't have to put your first and last name there, obviously. You don't. You just a fake email, fake. Just put whatever you put in the first name. That's what we'll read.
Mike White. You know, so. Donald Trump.
White power.
J.D. Vance.
J.D. Vance. All right. Anyway, so that's how that looks. We appreciate any support. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate the support.
We appreciate all of you.
We got to
can't do it without you.
Float the entropy, you know, mishap here.
It's been 7 years of this, you know. It's been 7 years of it. When they say 7 years of bad luck, is that over?
Can it be over now? Yeah, exactly. Can we just operate as normal? Yeah, redeyes.tv/tips. That's that same kind of embedded widget you can use there as well.
Anyway,
it's business, shilling, you know, but that's just what it is.
Sorry, right? We got to pay the hosting and the lights and all that.
Yeah, the studio space and everything. We got bills like everyone else. That's just what it is. And we are reliant on our audience for support and for memberships. Obviously, that's another great way too. I say maybe not as often as I do, but yeah, redicemembers.com. Head on over there, sign up for membership. It's only $10 a month. It's not that much. I mean, that's not that much.
No,
even if it's hard times nowadays, and struggling, that's a great. If you haven't supported us before, due to the entropy kind of mishap, now is a great time to get in there, get access to our archives. Western Warrior, great show. I spent a lot of time putting, we both do obviously, but like editing that together, making it look good and, you know, for you guys. So we give you something in return for the support that you show us. So we appreciate that as well.
I bought a cappuccino when I was out the other day and it was $6, almost $6. And I was just like, what?
So you don't buy.
I usually don't, but I was kind of desperate. I needed a caffeine hit. And I was just like, what? You know, I know everyone is struggling, and I understand too. Yeah. You know, it's tough right now.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
Appreciate it.
Exactly. $10. RedHatsMembers.com. Get access to that. You have After Flash that we do after Flashback Friday. We have second hour of many of the interviews that we do. I'm going to get back on that train a little bit too, by the way. So we offer members even more than we already
do. More exclusive content.
We have exclusive content, obviously videos and stuff like that there too. But yeah, RedHatsMembers.com. Or if you're watching on Rumble, just click down below. Join. You get access to our locals. We upload the members content there as well. Or our subscribestar.com/redeyes. So anyway, enough of that. I hate to be that guy who talks about that.
I know, but that's just what it is.
We appreciate the support, guys. So anyway, it is what it is. So this is kind of funny. Speaking of J.D. Vance, just something to begin on here. This, I guess nuclear vests is now the latest scaremongering here. You never know when Iranians are going to show up with nuclear suicide vests. Okay, let's listen.
When I say options, I think it's important the American people know options for what? And it's options to ensure that Iran never has a nuclear weapon. You talk about people who walk into a crowded supermarket and have a vest on, and they blow up the vest and a couple of people get killed, and that's a terrible tragedy. What happens when what's on the vest is not something that can kill a couple of people, but can kill many, many tens of thousands of people? That is the most important American national security objective that exists for any administration at any time, is you don't want the worst people in the world to have a nuclear weapon. That's why the president is doing this. That's why the president cares so much about this particular issue. When I say options,
okay,
I think it's important.
So, I mean, isn't there a bigger issue with like black on white crime in America than like Iranians with nuclear vests showing up and blowing up marketplaces?
How many Iranians have murdered whites in America in the last 10 years?
I mean, it's
how many blacks? I mean, it's equivalent of a war, right?
That is a war. It's the losses are at World War II levels.
The
now.
Ongoing war. Those have done this here at stats, home,
right?
Yes.
Let's not forget. So then you initiate a conflict that pisses off the diversity that you brought in, and now you're causing the potential terrorism because A, you didn't deal with the diversity in the country. You opened the borders, and I understand that that's not like J.D. Vance's fault entirely. But even wouldn't this be a perfect opportunity to address something like this, right? They were over in Europe. Vance was at the Munich Security Conference. Trump mentioned it in different ways as well, kind of lambasting Europe for opening their borders and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And of course, you can argue what the reasons for all that is. But it's like, you're doing the same. Your country has done the same.
Yes.
And the consequences are the same. It's even worse in America than many European countries in terms of the percentages of the demographic replacement, right?
Well, we don't even talk about immigration anymore in this country, do we? I mean, as far as like this administration, it's not even a concern. Now it's just Israel.
Now it's nuclear vests. Well, speaking of Israel, someone linked up this clip. And of course, this is not wrong. We've heard about this. But even the foundation of like what we view as terrorism, right, in and of itself is like a Israeli Jewish idea. Mm. I mean, it was there before yes. Israel existed as a nation, obviously.
Kind of
right?
like xenophobia and racism and all these other terms, right?
Wait, what?
Well, I'm saying as far as Jews giving us these wonderful terms that have just enlightened us white folks.
Well,
right?
No, I'm not saying the term. They're giving us the actual...
Well, they're giving the actual terrorist.
The verb.
Too, yes.
What do you call
yes.
the actual deed of terrorism.
The deed as well.
listen.
Giving us the word and the deed.
Well, I mean, certainly the Zionists have used it and brought it, in fact, to the area. Terrorism, as we know it today, the planting of bombs in marketplaces and so on and so forth, was, in fact, introduced into the Middle East by the Zionists in the 20s. But the net result of Zionist terrorism and violence in the first third of the 20th century has brought forth, to my mind, the anomaly, the horrific and unacceptable status in the Middle East today of the State of Israel, which is in fact an armed garrison state, which now exports more arms and distributes violence all around the world, vastly disproportionate to its size. I mean, in that respect, yep. I think it's a horrible cycle of violence. But in it all, I think the Palestinian is the victim. There's no question about that.
Just like the whites.
Just like the whites. It's different versions of genocide. It's slow trickle replacement over decades, or it's full on just hand, you know. At the same time, if you let in that diversity, and then that's the diversity that goes on to rape your daughters and, you know, kill your sons and robs your grandma and, you know, how it's just then it's terrorism by proxy.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That's right.
So this is what they do. Poisoning wells. We got some more on this later, actually, and we'll follow up on that and kind of return back to this a little bit in terms of the terrorism and some of the things being done in Israel a little bit later in the show, but we're going to deviate a little bit. I wanted to just touch on something we covered in Western Warrior, the latest one here, when it comes to this freak storm that's moving in over the Mideast. This is coming now. The timing of this is kind of interesting because it's coming right when, you know, the U.S. is sending in massive amounts now of troops to the region, more ships, more planes, you know, all kinds of resources. And what that looks like could be, I don't know, a disaster. But I'll speak with Matt Bracken, who's an ex-Navy SEAL, about this tomorrow, try to kind of tap his, you know-how and information about this, how he sees that like going down if and when it happens. But right now, I guess partially because of this weather there, if this is even, you know, they talked about it. Tornadoes, hailstorms, snow.
And
this is some footage.
That's like very unusual. A tornado in the Middle East?
I don't know. But anyway, this is, I think.
No, it is. It's very rare.
UAE, vehicles swept away in flash floods caused by torrential rainstorms in regions. So, of course, people are like, is this weather manipulation coming in? Is it to inhibit? Is this Iran's weather modification here? Is that they're controlling the weather now? Or did or someone prayed to some deity and you know,
is it truly an act of the gods?
Is it force majeure or is it you know, gay op humans? I don't know. Anyway, so big storms. Families in Syria have been left homeless and lost possessions. Well, I can see who that benefits. Displacement of people? Who could it be now? Residents, some people have been cut off by the floods. So it's perfect. Now you can move in and just create a buffer zone. I don't think I have the map, but I think someone did the map showing Israel, and then the rest of the world is their security buffer zone. that's Israel. So you know what they'll be able to do if this is something that they're
Well, they have a lot of underground facilities, right? So they can just hunker down in those.
You're talking about Iran or Israel?
Yeah, Iran.
Iran. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure this is straight over.
Yeah, where is this?
Iran,
this is,
but it's
Oman
pushing in that
Syria,
area. Well, Oman is right there. I mean,
that is the
Strait of Hormuz right there, right? Mm-hmm. By where Oman and Iran meets. So that's kind of an interesting, I don't know, interesting little coincidence. I'll just leave that there. I'm not sure what to make of it. But anyway, some gay op is afoot. That's what I'm feeling from this here. Anyway, we're going to deviate a little bit.
This was kind of a ha-ha. So some homeowner hires some Mexicans. Well, you shouldn't do that, especially if it's a white person, to do this job, I guess, for 3 days and allegedly owed them $10,000 and instead called ICE to come pick him up.
I think I've seen a little bit of this one.
This has happened a few times before. mean, it's probably all Mexicans at this point, right here in this city.
Yeah, even
the homeowner, the police, the roofers, the ICE agents.
Pinche ley valió madre. Nos rodearon,
For me.
Estoy en todo el derecho a grabar, no estoy haciendo nada malo también.
Free later.
And they all have to speak Spanish. Look at this.
La verdad que yo estoy aquí, no estoy haciendo nada malo también.
F-A-F-O. I mean, you're here illegally. You're working illegally. You're stealing jobs from Americans, so haha.
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? And all these people are like, oh my gosh, this is bad. These poor illegals. And I'm like, no, more people should do this. Over and over and over until they get the point.
Did it say what state it was in? I don't think I can't see.
Can't tell.
Can't tell either. Looking at the houses there, I'm not sure about anyway. Okay.
I'm fine with this trend. It's fine. That's all right. Is it a white one? Yeah.
No, good. Good for her. Excellent. All right. All right. Anyway, moving on here. So I wanted to talk about you. Speaking of
ICE.
I'm
sure they did a fine job, too, by the way. I'm sure it was a expert craftsmanship.
Oh, you know it, of course. So Bovino, we don't really talk much about this. It was this great optics guy. Everyone in the mainstream media picked up on it right away. Like, just him walking with his, like, long... coat, right? Long coat. What do you call it? Do you call it long coat?
Like a trench coat? Long coat? Yeah, yeah, long coat.
You know, it looked like it was very Hugo Boss-esque aesthetics, you know, kind of thing. It's like this leather strap.
Like anyway, it.
Everyone's freaking out. This guy's a Nazi. This guy's like, we have to get him out. And I think, in fact, that he was let go because he was actually one of the...
Genuine ones.
Yeah, and it was actually one of the better ones. This is not some groundbreaking thing here, but I'm saying the whole fraud of the deportations thing now seems to basically be to associate this with Trumpism, and as you discredit that with the, for example, the association to the war here now and things like that, like this is failed policy, right? They actually never wanted an ICE, ICE to function properly to actually deal with the issue, because Bovino. According to, look, I know it's New York Times. I know they exaggerate things. I know that they pull, you know, things out of the woodwork and just claim they wanted to do something. But unless he puts a statement out, which I haven't seen on any social media platform, says that's a blatant lie, I never said that or something, I would assume then that, yeah, they interviewed him for it. They talked with him and people around him, and they wrote a piece on it. And this is, you know, true then. Mr. Bovino was built for this moment. He had long harbored hardline, even radical views on immigration. And he said he had planned to deport 100 yes. million people.
That was our guy right
that
there.
That was our guy right there. Bovino
that
was
dude.
The guy.
None of right? these rookie number, a million or a thousand here. Just no, we want 100 million tomorrow.
Lines, you know, we're just going to... So now they can get this charade of the ICE deportations, the raids.
Yes.
And, of course, Trump laid it back down. Fizzled this was some good optics. It was like, this Bovino, this too hard. No, we don't want that. We wanted this to be a big effect for the opposition, for the leftists, for the anti-whites, for the brown people, for the Democrats, right? So that when they get in next time, there can be a vehement across-the-board rejection of Trumpism, which then includes white people asserting themselves. And, you know, Trump is a representative of the white man. He's actually not. People don't seem to understand it when I say this. Like, GOP is the white man's party. I know it's not, but I'm saying that's the perception. That is the association made in the mainstream media. That's the narrative for you know, most people. Except
so we got some of the talk and none of the action, right?
Pretty much. Well, and again, they wanted the talk because now you don't actually get any results. But you can counterattack like you did get results, right? So no damage has been done really to the replacement agenda. In fact, you could argue, we'll see where this goes, obviously, right? But you could argue that it might even, because you tried to attempt to do it, or again, faked that you wanted to do it, but didn't do it right, you might have caused even greater damage to it. Like, if you enter onto this path, Just like Bovino says here, you got to finish the job and do it right and professionally and disciplined and dedicated to it. And let's sort it out now. Now's your window. Now's your chance. Boom, you got 2 years. Let's get, what happened? No, they fired him. And then it's like, you had already sold me on him. You don't have to, this is redundant now. Bovino said to have mocked prosecutor's Jewish faith on call with lawyers.
See?
Again, it's probably the New York Times making it up.
I hope that's true.
I understand that, but it was kind of funny. It's like, these were some of the pieces right before, before he actually was fully kind of pushed out. Now he's like, oh, he's going to retire. Good, he's out. Don't worry about it, kind of thing. Gregory Bovino, the Border Patrol field leader, made disparaging remarks in reference to U.S. attorney in Minnesota, an Orthodox Jew.
Ooh, he called an Orthodox Jew. Ooh.
Well, check out the last part of it.
Call the presses.
People with knowledge of the phone call said. It's literally a game. It's literally a game of telephone regarding his telephone call here.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope he did. That would be kind of funny. But it probably wasn't. I'm not sure. Anyway, I mean, look at this. The style there, right?
Yeah, like this, I like that military style. I like it.
It's like, all right, that's a good guy. But so that they got rid of him because he tried to actually tried to do it right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And of course, the Trump admin couldn't have any of that because this was all about this was the Lutniks and the the Kushners and the Witkoffs and you name it, everyone else along the line. This was about to make it appear that the white man was fighting back, so that when the pushback comes, the opposition, those who hate whites, includes them, of course, that I just mentioned, but I'm saying then, because they get other people to do the dirty work for them, right?
And meanwhile, take all those resources and use them for this war, right? Take the manpower, take the money, take all the attention.
You can kill, Persians, you can kill the Amalek over there, and then you can tighten the noose around white people in Western countries. Look at this failed agenda, this fascism with the ICE agents and all the horrible thing that we never again, these headlines write themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I showed it in the Western Warrior, but it's like perfect example of the type of headlines that are floating around. I know I'm going to move on here, but I do want to make this point. We've made it a couple of times where I think I can find it at Trump's foreign policy. Do I have it here? Yeah, here's two examples. I think I show these in the Western Warrior show, but two examples of that association, right? The U.S. government used white supremacist material and memes to hire an army of ICE agents, right? So the rejection of this. Next one, this is incredible considering on whose behalf the foreign policy is run. But anyway.
The Jewish nationalism at the heart of Trump's foreign policy.
There is no white nationalism in Trump's. How is it white nationalism in Trump's foreign policy?
Well, it's three white guys. Well, one's questionable. You're looking at them right there, Everyone that talks, they're white.
Well, that's the thing, right? Then even a Lutnick or a Stephen Miller can pose as those are white. Mm-hmm. That's white people's fault, see, doing these things, right? All right. Anyway, so I think I'm done on that. Let's move on to the Valley Girl robot.
Robot.
The White House here. This is painful. Very painful.
Like, no way.
Dame gospoda. Prvata dama na Sjedinjenim Amerikanskim Državama.
Amerikanski, ja. Amerikanski.
There's the tech bros with the French tranny in the foreground there.
What is Melania doing walking this thing?
You see her, the way she takes
her runway walk.
She's like, feels like she doesn't want to do this. stop English. Oh gosh, I have to do this. This is how it starts, right? We have an emissary from the robot city here. It's just
yeah, what is this for? I didn't follow any of this.
This is some Wayman's thing. Who knows? But it's something. I forget which.
A Wayman's thing, but it's a robot thing.
Well, the tech bros decided to introduce the whole thing with the robot here. We are your replacement. Oof, and it's slow. thinking, loading.
Thank you, First Lady Melania Trump, for inviting me to the White House. It is an honor to be at Fostering the Future Together's Global Coalition inaugural.
She was like 14.
I'm figure three, a humanoid built from the United States of America. I am grateful to be part of this historic movement to empower children with technology and education. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Yokoso. Bienvenue. Bienvenidos. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Was that Macron's wife right behind there?
So that's that, the French tranny, yeah.
Yep.
And so then it has to repeat hello in every single goddamn language.
We all understand hello across the world, okay? You don't have to repeat it. No. Turns around.
If only. It's not going to happen. It's a slow choke out. That's what it is. Pacify you.
So did they frisk that thing coming into the White House before this?
Who?
Did they scan it and frisk it?
What Israeli company built that thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know. Just,
well, that was awkward.
Just painful. Painful.
That was awkward.
I'm going to look at Bovino. Here we go. Using humanoid robots as teachers moving forward. Right? Job replacement. We talked about that. It's happening.
Imagine a humanoid educator named Plato. Access to the classical studies is now instantaneous.
That's not what they want to teach you, though.
They're not going to teach you the trivium.
The classical European studies.
White people.
No, Melania.
Bad, okay?
That's not going to happen.
You know.
Science, art, philosophy, mathematics, and history. Humanity's entire corpus of information is available in the comfort of your home.
Well, it is now, and people are more dumber than ever, less educated than ever. It all turned into spurgy TikTok videos.
Yeah.
And it's
no like, attention span.
Less is
no critical
more.
Thinking.
We don't have that concept right now. It's just no bump. Just we need just more information. No, you don't, actually. You need less information, technically. Anyway, I don't know. We don't have to linger on this. It's just,
yeah, well, this is funny. Marco Rubio said that Iran has been killing Americans for 47 years.
Well, yeah, of course. Let's check it out.
Iran still has that enriched uranium. Is it even possible?
Well, you're going to have to see. But, you know, I think we're in just very good shape. We're roaming. You know what we're doing? You know the word roaming free? We're over their skies with the most beautiful planes you've ever seen. Roaming free, there's not a damn thing they can do about it. And it would be nice if, like the fake news New York Times, which writes so fake, and the Wall Street Journal is terrible, terrible. I mean, I read a story today that I'm desperate to make a deal. If I was desperate, he'd be the first to know. Pete, let's get the hell out of there. I'm the opposite of desperate.
Not working.
I don't care. I want to know. In fact, we have other targets we want to hit. Before we leave, we're hitting them on a daily basis. No, I don't talk about you. I can't talk about specifics. A lot of people said that wouldn't matter. Maybe it does matter. Who knows? But I wouldn't talk. It's like the question this young lady asked. Sorry about I embarrassed her. I don't want to embarrass you because I think you're of. I think she's a friendly reporter, so I'm sorry. But you know, I can't say what we're going to do because if I did, I wouldn't be sitting here for long. They'd probably, what is it called, the 25th Amendment? They'd institute the 25th Amendment, which they didn't do with Biden, which is shocking.
Okay, that wasn't Rubio, though, right? That was just Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, was that the wrong clip there?
I think so. Trump says that he was roaming free over Iran. Yeah, sure. No, okay. So this is not Ruby, but still.
It wasn't. And maybe it's up above.
That's fine. We can. We'll find the right one. But the point is still a good clip to play because we've talked about that. The back and forth, the desperation in the, I guess, attitudes of like trying to say that we got this, is no problem. I'm not. They're desperate. I'm not desperate. Whatever. This is a disaster so far on every level. I mean, I'm starting to leaning towards, you know, I made the point yesterday with Ryan Dawson. I made the point in the Western Warrior show as well. But looking at some of the trends in terms of the deindustrialization objectives, right? Net zero and, you know, green transition things, which, of course, is ultimately about control limitations, lockdowns, restrictions, you know, that type of thing. I'm starting to lean towards the fact that, like, ruin and failure and destruction and humiliation is actually part of the objective here. This is what these rabbis, we played so many clips with these rabbis talking about America and Europe is going to be brought to its knees. They're going to be humiliated.
And they have Edom to pay because of how they've treated the Jews.
Exactly. So that could be that here's your scapegoat, Trump, as the preeminent white man. You know what I mean?
I have the clip there too, by the way.
Okay.
The right one.
Okay, we'll play this. But so that point still kind of stands, right? How desperate of an attempt this has been, at least, you know, on the surface level, that's what it is. On the surface level, you're like, this is just kind of an embarrassment. But then if you scratch that surface, I think a little bit it's like, they probably want this to go down on some level.
They enjoy seeing that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's play it.
The most important job any president has is to keep the American people safe. And every president says it, but we have a president that means it and does something about it. As the president outlined very clearly to the world on the night this operation began, Iran has been at war with the United States for 47 years. For 47 years, Iran has been killing Americans and attacking Americans across this planet. And other presidents had an opportunity to do something about it.
Across this
planet. And they all warned about how Iran was dangerous, but they refused to act. And this president's not someone that's going to refuse to act. He's not going to leave a danger like this in place. He's going to address it, and that is what he is doing. From the very first night of this operation, the president made it very clear. People like this, and now what I'm talking about is not the people of Iran. The people that run this country are radical Shia clerics. These are religious fanatics. Look what they are doing.
But
now.
Israel is not.
At the weakest point. This is the weakest Iran has ever
been.
Israel,
they're not religious fanatics whatsoever, right? It's just Iran.
No, they're just talking about exterminating every other race of people but them, right? There's plenty of rabbis. Plenty of rabbis. I've read the other day the state itself, military leaders, ministers, Knesset member, like they're all... You should do the reverse of it. Show me one of them that's not saying that basically, you know, not only that we're chosen and better than everyone else, but basically everyone else needs to either serve us or full on just don't deserve to live even, yeah. Right? Because they're idol worshippers and all that stuff. Find me those that are not saying it, and then there'll be an easier thing to do.
And look at what they're doing. They're attacking embassies. They're attacking hotels. Imagine what these people would do if they had a nuclear weapon. That is an unacceptable risk for the world. By the way, the president's not just doing a favor to the United States and to our people. This is for the world.
Iran wants to blow up the world.
He defined very clearly on the first night of this operation what the goal was.
Not Israel. Israel is not triggering any of this. America hasn't done gay ops in Iran. Maybe that's why they're upset. You try to, you know, do coups and meddling in other people's business like this, and then like 47 years of like... being in an antagonistic relationship. Yeah, why?
They said this about Germans too, right? They want to take over Europe
and the
world.
Yeah, they want to conquer the world. That's always
total
the lie.
Hysteria.
And then the truth, of course, is no, it's actually these radically, the fanatical Zionist Jews that want to dominate the world. That's going to be the kingdom of the world, you know, the seat of their Moshiach. They're going to rule the world from Jerusalem. Like that's what they, that's religious fanaticism right there. And look, I get it. I'm critical of all Abrahamism. I think, you know, the doomsday shit that's weaved into this eschatological, you know, insanity of like, it's in the final days, everything is just going to, you know, blow up, you know. But yes, there's plenty of radical Muslims in our countries, but of course they get criticized way more in the press, for example, right? They don't do anything about it. Granted, in some of these European mosques or whatever they've been built now, they can sit there and like, you know, kill the infidel and like rape them, you know. But why are they there? Why are they in our countries? But are they doing that about these rabbis? Nothing, not a peep yet. Nope.
We were going to destroy Iran's navy, and that is happening. We were going to, if it hasn't already happened, I'll let Pete speak to the specifics of it. We were going to destroy their missile launching capabilities. We're well on our way to achieving that goal. We were going to destroy the factory so they couldn't make more missiles and more drones, and that is moving forward. Every single objective the president clearly laid out on the first night of this operation is being effectuated. Again, Pete will speak to the specifics of it. This has been an incredibly successful operation.
Pete will speak
every day,
to the specifics.
It may not get covered because...
All right, shut up, Rubio. Goddamn neocon. Total war hawks. These are all the never Trump people that are surrounding Trump now and doing And I'm not saying that's because Trump is like, oh, poor Trump or whatever. He's a willing participant. He let these people in. He was told or whatever, right? But like... They're doubling down on this tough guy kind of attitude of like, well, maybe all the previous presidents didn't do it because even as bad as they were, they understood that maybe this is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Like just because you run bravely into a situation, like that bravery could just be mistaken for idiocy, essentially. Well, I'm going to pew, pew, pew. It's like, do you know what you're doing here? Do you know what the consequences of this are?
He's trusting other people. Like, there, you'll see, we can play. He's literally falling asleep, okay? And he's letting other people make the decisions, right? He's exhausted. Man, he's tired. He's getting old. This is a heavy weight to carry.
So no Navy leader. Now that he's... Here's the thing about the media, though.
Yeah.
If President Trump had not acted...
I mean, I don't even know how he does all this at his age. He's just showing up everywhere. It's crazy.
No, I mean,
he's just given up, you know, the decision-making to all these horrible people all around him. I mean, it's been that way all along, of course.
It's always been like that, yeah.
But now it's like he just doesn't even have any input.
It's
of his own.
As you said, I know he's old or whatever, but it feels... And not that he ever was that, but like, remember the Lord of the Rings scene with the Rohan king?
Exactly.
Right? It was literally like asleep on the throne with the Grima worm tongue, right?
Well, the worm tongue got to him because he was against war with Iran when he ran.
No. So this is the mistake. I'd fight you on that. It's like they knew who or what they had to appeal to in order to get him elected, to get him the popularity and things like that he needed, right? I'll be the no wars kind of guy, and we need peace and America first, whatever. Fooled again, right? Everyone's, yay, finally, you know, and then it's straight to Iran, straight to Zog objectives, you know, kind of thing. It's just a ruse. It's just it's just a game. It's just a fake. Politics is fake and gay. Okay, this is not hard. And that's why there's a perfect opportunity for some of these people now around Trump to associate him then with white supremacy and, you know, white people asserting themselves through these deportation programs and all that stuff. And then you bury that whole, never again, bury that whole agenda. We did that, been there, tried that, and that's never happening again. Doesn't mean it's over. I'm saying that's one of the tactics that they're using here, right? Okay. So anyway, consequence of this, of course, gas running out from, you know, in all these countries. Serbia is doing, Slovenia is doing petrol or gas restrictions. What's the term for it? Quarantine. What's the term I'm using? They're restricting people's access to energy. And the same thing is happening in Australia. Pumps are running dry, right? This is a disaster. Again, I think maybe this is a feature, not a bug. I've talked about that. But again, on the surface level, this is a disaster, right? And so now in order to kind of... remedy that or make that look better, it's like, all right, we're going to take back the Strait of Hormuz, right? It's like you had all these other objectives up in the air. You were going to do, there was going to be a replacement of the theocracy in Iran. You're going to topple the whole leadership. You're going to have the people of Iran rising up and doing the dirty work for you. That didn't happen. You've just strengthened them, essentially. You have no idea how involved their capabilities were with these missiles shooting out of the mountainsides and out of the desert and like these underground cities with like rock, you
They're
know,
more
all
high-tech
the missiles.
Than they
yeah,
thought.
They had a lot. Like, did you not know this? Or you literally anyway, for all the Mossad infiltration, that which makes me wonder, like, did they know? They knew it was bad. I don't know. It's really hard, right? We're just speculating from the outside. But anyway, how anyone can look at this officially and not just say these people are retarded and don't know what the hell they're doing, that's beyond me. That's obviously what you see in the at face value. Anyway, here's one report of what's going on in Australia right now, because the ships are not coming. And as we reported in the Western Warrior Show,
COVID era type restrictions
2 weeks before the Iran, this is the insider trading bullshit. Same thing, right? Someone in that room made the call. 1.5 billion in S&P futures was bought, and they dumped 192 million of oil shares or something, mm-hmm. right? They knew within minutes what was going to happen. They made the trade, made more money in in 1 minute than most Americans will make in 1,000 lifetimes right there. Boom, insider trading. Someone knew, right? So that's one aspect. You can trick the markets and all that stuff with it. But 2 weeks before the Iran war started, ships were not allowed to dock. Their ship captains coming out and saying that excuses are being made. We're told to go to this port and then we're redirected to the other port. Like, what's going on? Anyway, here's a quick.
Take a look at those bowsers. You can see that every single one of those has either a covered up or they have a sign on it saying no petrol. Everything is out of service. There is no fuel whatsoever here at the Ampol in Cherrybrook.
It's on getting fuel to where it needs to be. From Queensland to South Australia, nearly 250 service stations are out of diesel. Those who can get it are paying dearly.
We use approximately 30,000 litres a month. It's a dollar a litre dearer than what we paid 3 weeks ago.
Surging diesel costs hurting the transport sector too. Unions demanding government intervention to ensure drivers are compensated.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you mess around with these people and when you trust you trust the plan. I mean, not that Australia did necessarily, but I'm saying this is what happens when you
suffer
when you start wars on behalf of Israel, right? Essentially. I'm not sure if these were real or not, but people said they were real. There was people complaining on this. But
I saw other people saying you should put those stickers in a lot of other places because there's a lot of other things they did. You're getting them off easy if you're just saying they just rose the gas prices.
Yeah, that's okay. True, right? But yeah, with Jews, you lose. Figure it out, white man.
In a lot of ways, we need to talk about the war at home and the anti-whiteness that continues. And one of those things is young girls getting raped across white countries and then going to assisted suicide to kill themselves. Yes, let me tell you about the story of Noela Castilla Ramos, 25 years old, in Spain. She had a difficult childhood. She had some family issues. She had some, psychological problems and things to work through. She was institutionalized in 2022. She was put in a state supervised center for vulnerable youths, and she was gang raped by a pack of North African men. And so she was so traumatized by this and broken by this that she decided to jump out of a window to kill herself, and she survived it and became paralyzed. And it's been a hard road for her. She's depressed, doesn't want to live. The rapists run free. They're not caught. Nothing's happening. And so she fought for 2 years to to legally kill herself in assisted suicide. And this just happened like a few hours ago.
Yeah, meanwhile, the mom apparently tried last minute.
Yeah, she did. We have a clip of that also. She, and then also some, Christian lawyers and all that were trying to block it. But yeah, 2 years of fighting, and then, she died today. But
yep.
They'd rather kill a young European girl than find these rapists and euthanize them. That's what's happening.
It's an outrage, right? Of her not being helped, getting the help she needs. Even then, if she did have a mental history, right, the background there, whatever, that there is no proper help for our own people to spend the funds and the resources. No, instead they open the borders, letting these rapists, they go on to, degrade and assault, sexually rape her like this, and then they just drop the ball.
In a state institution, so yeah. She wasn't even being watched or supervised, and all these North Africans hanging out in there, like a gang of them, what are they doing in this,
right,
mental institution or whatever? We could play the
looking
play
for
the
rape
clip
victims
there.
Yep.
Me llamo Noelia Castillo Ramos. Tengo 25 años. Y bueno, me quedan 4 días. Básicamente porque el 26 ya me hacen la eutanasia.
¿Has dudado alguna vez de, venga, paro todo el proceso?
No. Lo tenía muy claro desde el principio.
Es sobrecogedor. Es sobrecogedor el testimonio de Noelia. Hoy concede a este programa su única y última entrevista después de que el Tribunal de Estrasburgo avale su eutanasia, su decisión de morir. Enseguida con Bea Osa, que es en quien ella confía para conceder esta entrevista, vamos a escuchar un avance de la conversación en la que Noelia explica por primera vez y antes de morir su decisión.
What an awful life. Growing up, you have, some kind of trauma and mental problems. And then towards the end of your 25 years alive, you get gang raped by a pack of migrants, and then you kill yourself.
Total letdown by everything that was supposed, what do we have these countries for?
What are these laws for? All these
supposed
laws.
To be a society.
These laws just protect the criminals, okay? Because we can take you to another story here in the Netherlands, okay? There's a,
did you want to play any of the other
ones?
Oh,
yeah, we can play that if you want to see that. But the mom was trying to save her.
Is that her mom right here? Yeah. We can play this.
En un correo electrónico con un contacto y ha dicho, soy bla, bla, bla. Sé que es la última.
People were saying they were trying to stop it, but it's like, ah, we can't do that now. And also her organs are already on a wait. Other people are on a wait list for her organs. Remember we covered the story out of Canada? Like the, one of the major... You know, profits now from the whole MAID program, suicide, the euthanasia program.
It's only white people signing up for it, by the way.
95% are white. That's why it's working, apparently, according to the Canadian politicians. And yeah, they're selling the organs of these people, too. So it's just turning into like an you kill whites, you make
and
money
make
on
money
it.
Off of it.
It turns into an organ market. Who are the organs going to?
Es a última hora, pero hay alguna. Cantidad de dinero o apoyo que pueda ofrecerte directamente a Noelia y a su familia para ayudarla a proponer, a posponer su decisión. Quizás con una cantidad de dinero y apoyo muy significativa podría empezar a construir su vida poco a poco. Estoy dispuesto a ofrecer todo lo que esté a mi alcance para que reciba la ayuda física y psicológica que necesita sin importar el costo. Tened en tanto, dile que tengo un piso grande y dos coches y también estoy dispuesta a pagarle en Barcelona un alquiler para ella y para su madre. Y ayudas psicológicas y psiquiátricas de muchos terapeutas para ti, Noelia. Es mis últimas palabras, si me estás viendo, es por si acaso. Por si acaso tú quieres.
Es muy emocionante, Yolanda, la verdad, escucharle decir...
Es mi última palabra, Noelia, porque sé que me estás viendo.
Es por si acaso.
Lo último que puedo hacer más por ti. Para que salga de ti. Si sale de ti, sin que nadie te arrebate esa eutanasia, pero si sale de ti y tú lo quieres hacer, yo estoy aquí contigo. Igual que voy a estar para lo malo, también voy a estar para lo muy bueno.
How could this not make you want to become a fascist at this point? It's just
order.
Such a
we
mess.
Just hang these rapists publicly, right? No, that's what it is now. Goddamn, the Spanish government is one of the worst ones. Remember, they just legalized, what was it, like 400,000 like African migrants or some ridiculous fucking thing like this?
Workers.
The workers, yeah. Let more. Oh, this is working, see? It's working.
Now we're going to have more mental health problems.
They're being raped and they're killing themselves.
And obviously the direct correlation between the more liberal we become, the more mental problems we have. So let's go to Netherlands. Yeah. A surprise, a failed integration experiment at the Stek Oost student / refugee housing complex in Amsterdam. This opened in 2018. So they housed 125 Dutch students alongside 125 refugees, mostly men. From Syria and Eritrea. Oh, gee, this wasn't going to go bad. The goal was to solve housing shortages for both groups while promoting integration. Mm. This shit's still happening. Students were encouraged to buddy up with refugees to help them learn Dutch, adapt to society, and integrate faster. Well, the project quickly turned into years of serious problems, sexual assaults, harassment, stalking, threats, violence, fights, rape, and gang rape. I bet you most of the students in there were female. I bet you. You know, there might have been a few, you know, male Dutch students, but it's probably mostly females.
Because,
you know, hey, buddy up. You know, they tried to do something like that in Sweden.
Yeah, breed. Oh, they're raping them at
least. That's right. Germany, you know. Germany, they did that too.
Forced breed. Sweden has these policies now too. We have forced integration, right? There's too much segregation. Migrants over here, Swedes, you got to mix them together. You got to kalergimat them.
It's like our HUD programs that have existed. That will come back.
Just rape the Swedish girls then, okay? Just get on. You know, that's what they want. That's what they want.
So students and staff, they felt terrified, overwhelmed. They were complaining to the housing corporation, which is the Stadgenoot, and authorities were just ignoring it. They were downplaying it. They claimed, oh, there's too many, here we go again, legal hurdles in evicting tenants. What the fuck? You can't just go and grab them and kick them out? These are rapists. They've got knife fights. They're drugs. Like, everything that you can think of that's bad was happening. So, like, why do we even have these laws? Who do they protect? They protect the bad guys. All of a sudden, we can't evict them. Oh, we can't put this rapist away. Oh, we can't deal with this, you know, black murderer because, you know, this law and this law. But, oh, yeah, you know, if you're white, oh, my God, and you said the wrong thing or posted a wrong meme online, or you're a white girl that got gang raped, sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah.
So in 2023, the housing department, they tried to close this place down. They tried to close it down, but it was overruled by local Amsterdam authorities because they said, oh, but it's a housing crisis. Where are these, you know, murderers and rapists going to go? We need to have them stay somewhere. So this contract expires in 2028. But then what? The problem still remains. These refugees, these horrible, disgusting people that just absolute scum and filth.
They're still in
the Netherlands. They're still going to be there.
Of course.
They don't kick them out. And then there's no justice for the Dutch people that have experienced crimes and rape and gang rape. Another young girl gang raped there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And it turns out there was another girl, same situation.
You should view these like, these are just rape cells.
Yes.
On like the plantation here, essentially. That's just, you know, it's just amazing.
So there was another story.
Well, there's nothing wicked. Like,
yeah.
The gang rapists are not like debanked. Or like, you're like
they're fed and clothed. Inhibited.
What was the term I'm looking for? Prevented, I guess, from like operating normally, like people who point out these problems are, right? No, instead, as you said, they feed them, they clothe them, they
enable them.
They line
they're
them up with
enablers.
Them. Here, bottle feed them, you know, to like...
Oh, we can't do anything. Oh, sorry, you were gang raped. Oh, we can't do anything. What are these laws for then?
Well, again, what good did the rule do you if it led you here, right? What good did you do following that rule?
Turns out there's another story. It was another Dutch girl. Same thing like the Spanish Noella that I just told you about.
Mm-hmm.
She was 17, euthanized in 2023. She was raped at age 13 and 16 by nuns. And then she gets killed. Her parents put her in a mental hospital. And then later on, she was euthanized.
Yeah.
Same trajectory.
That's what they want.
Like, and this isn't a problem. Yep. We're not like, hey guys, this something is wrong in our countries. We have a problem to deal with. How about we stop thinking about, you know, fucking Israel and take care of business at home? There's a war that's happening in our countries right now. This anti-white agenda is key. It's full force ahead. Just because we're not covering it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's there and it's ramping up and it's going to continue to ramp up, even though all the focus is on Israel and Iran.
Hey, Lana, look, calm down. We just had three Jewish ambulances burned in London, okay? All right? Okay?
Oy vey!
Israel has a right to defend itself, okay? It's the only nation, in fact, in the world that has a right to defend itself, apparently, while your people are being raped and stabbed and robbed and murdered and gang raped. And you should be more sensitive to these racial issues. You see, you need to be more tolerant. You need to back up and give them some room. You need to help. You need to be nicer to them. You see,
work so harder to integrate them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just offer them some whores so they don't rape.
Give them, line them up on a conveyor belt, you know. Yeah, I mean, again, it's more here, right? Scotland, a man has been jailed 8 years for a serious sexual assault in Glasgow, right? But somehow these people must be in our countries.
That's right. Another one, Martin Selner.
Yeah.
A gang tortured a 12-year-old German girl in Leipzig.
Leipzig.
They ambushed her on her way home from school, beat her, strangled her, humiliated her, and forced her to go on her knees while she was brutalized, filming everything. Afterwards, they spread the video on the internet to cause even more psychological damage. The police is doing nothing. The school is monitoring the situation. These migrants who tend to rape and murder, they're just walking around scot-free. Torture videos, they're around. You know, anyone could watch them.
Mm.
Not a problem.
No, it's not just that they're doing these acts now. They're filming it and uploading
and
it because they think it's funny.
Yes.
That's been the case for, I mean,
and
probably a
decade
now. And
they know that they can get away with it, and they do. Like, this is happening over and over. You know, like, okay, I see it in passing, but we haven't been covering as much of the anti-white and just, like, the rape carnage that's happening. It's there, and it's getting worse.
It's not going away. Not going away.
Of course not.
Austria, similar story here, too. This had a screenshot. Oh, okay, I see. I got to scroll down. Love Facebook here. Can I scroll? What's going on? Okay, here we go. Teen beasts. Migrant teen schoolboys gang rape teacher 28 and hold her as sex slave before setting her flat on fire in Austria. It was multiple of these. Like, they just they kidnap them and blackmail them and rape them and have fun, you know, have their way with them. And it's no, yeah.
I don't know how the families of these women and children don't just become hardcore activists against immigration.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we've seen cases,
and they're between 14 and 17,
where their girls are raped, and then they're like, "Oh, let's do a fundraiser for migrants because all the racists are, you know, trying to capitalize on my daughter's death."
They're trying to use this exactly. No, the war is here at home, right? We have enemies. They've declared themselves enemies. We have aggressors. We are under attack. We are under assault. We have to. It's not obviously about rhetoric. I think most people, unfortunately, sadly, yet, but we're getting there slowly but surely. We're getting there. But it's to be driven that narrative much harder that, like, there is a war on whites in every single white country. We're being assaulted and attacked and robbed and harassed and bombed and stabbed and, you know, raped. And we need to defend ourselves against this. This is an existential threat against us, right?
Yes.
Here you got like some, you know, Israeli bullshit about, yeah, some ambulance, like the whole world springs into action. Remember like the guy who drove into the synagogue and it was like a fire was started inside. You see all the cops that showed up for that?
Yeah.
Like the just the insane
cops from towns nearby for miles.
The whole country's, you know, send it, go outside, what happened? And in this case, they look the other way, they give him a slap on the wrists, nothing major, right? Here's an example, right? And put it in kind of context, right? That what Jews are doing in like Palestinian areas, right? And IDF and these soldiers, and of course it's others too, it's settlers, you know, invaders, that's what they are, invaders. What they are doing to them there is what like some of these Muslims and stuff are doing to us in our countries, right? So it's like this Semitic desert mindset of like a brutal people, you know what I mean? Like brutality. Why, for all the crime, and you notice this too, right? You look at the history books and you realize so much of this about the colonialist era or the how evil this was. And it's not even close.
No.
Not even compare. You can't even compare the two. And most of it is lies that anyway. I mean, again, you do a deep dive into any of these, were there like mishaps or some fucked up person did something that was white? But yeah, of course, I'm not saying we're like perfect. But
as a people in general,
let's not even make that argument.
Sadistic.
You know what I mean? But I'm saying, you look into like King Leopold, who was like accused of like cutting off the hands of blacks just because like he got a kick out of it or something. It turns out, no, this was happening in the area and they were trying to stop it. They were actually trying to help. But here's this Jewish academic that moves in, I forget what his name was now, writing the preeminent work in the book on King Leopold. So all these accusations of historical injustices and trauma and slavery and violence and terrorism projected onto whites is actually projected onto these other population groups that are now doing those things to us.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's so fascinating about this. But like, just the brutality of this, right? Here's an IDF soldier, or an IDF soldier, a grown man, picking on a little Palestinian girl, taking her by...
Yeah, they have nothing. Everything's blown up. She probably lost, you know, half her relatives. And then it's like, oh, we're going to take the one thing that you enjoy, your little bike.
We're going
to... And if we could, we'd just shoot you right now. But we'll get to it at some point.
Oh, they don't care.
We'll save that for next week's entertainment.
They burn 10-year-old, 10-month-year-old infants or 1-year-old baby in front of the father.
This is what they want to do to us.
And they are. In a roundabout way, they are. Mm. In some cases, it might not be like literally them against us, But the whatever that desert.
Proxy.
I mean, look, there was a great book called The Desertification of I forget the exact title, but they're talking about the trauma involved in like being in a desert, you know, because of like the harsh conditions. But it creates a specific mind, right? Which is, you know, the Semitic mind essentially. Mm-hmm. But it's this constant brutality, right? Both against each other. Obviously, the Jews in this case are obviously the worst ones, but undeniably. These Muslims to flee from these countries that have been displaced by Jews to come to our countries, and they treat us that way.
Because they view us the same. Yeah. Oh, you're just like the Zionist, you know.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Invaders.
You know. It's just, anyway, so here's back to these settlers, these Zionists, Jews. Check this one out here. They dump mountains of rotten dates outside of a family's home, and then they bring in their cattle and goats and stuff to just... feed from that, I guess.
Escalating harassment and terror.
And that causes just the everything like around their property to be destroyed by all the cattle.
Of a family into sale for over 2 weeks, dumping mountains of rotting dates right beside their house and bringing cows and sheep to graze on them. They have been trespassing on the family's land, filming them and tormenting them almost daily. One of them is Eliav Libby, head and founder of the nearby Malachi HaShalom farming outpost. He has been sanctioned by Britain for threatening and perpetuating acts of aggression and violence against Palestinians. He is a director of Libby Construction and Infrastructure, a sanctioned company founded by his brother, Harold Libby, that sells flat pack houses for outposts and settlements. The genocidal company is also contracted by the Israeli government to bulldoze homes in Gaza. Settlers drive up to the house on their ATVs, walk around the property, try to video inside, threaten to steal the family's goats and sheep and bring over 30 sheep or cows to graze on the dates, destroying the family's property in the process. On two occasions, this has escalated to 9 to 10 settlers with horses, sheep and cows that invade the family's property. Family are not able to remove the dates themselves due to fears around escalation and the repercussions from the occupation army and the settlers. They have tried to speak to the police, but they have been told that there is a grey area around who owns the land. The police often refuse to show up when the settlers harass them. This combined with eviction notices, intense surveillance, settler drones that fly overhead blaring sirens and Hebrew music, settlers in cars peeping outside their homes, harassment from the army, and severe limitations on where the family are allowed to graze their flock is taking its toll. And forced displacement seems imminent.
Yeah, they make it so miserable for you that you
so
leave.
Exactly, disagreeable.
What are you talking about? We live side by side. It's all fine. We live peacefully. And then they do shit like this, you know, psychological terror and torment until you leave.
It's the same as the, you know, the New Jersey Lakewood Orthodox Jews. They, like, harass you in your home until you leave, and they buy you, like, they come and buy it in cash. These are disagreeable is obviously not a strong enough word, right? But these are impossible to live with. Mm-hmm. You can't live with them like that. Ironically, like that's their strength. You know what I mean? Remember this guy? If I don't steal your house, someone else will.
It reminds me of that video I did about Blockbusters, right? In I got a scam call there. I'll just keep getting scam calls. Blockbusting in America, turning white neighborhoods black. And it was a lot of Jewish real estate developers and realtors who were like, they hired some blacks to go up and down white people's neighborhoods to just scare whites into thinking, oh no, a black person's moving into the neighborhood. Let's sell, let's leave.
Right.
And then they would buy up the house super cheap and then they'd move in, you know, buy it high and then move in a bunch of blacks and just, you know, turn the neighborhoods one by one.
Well, again, it's the deceit and the harassment tactics that most people don't think of it that way because they're not inherently evil or wicked or cruel people, right? But these people are. They're wicked and they're cunning. It's a formidable enemy. But the point is, we don't take it seriously. It's just like that Jewish, for a little while, I think it was a prime minister, he went on Tucker and talked about like how naive Americans are. He means white people. That's what he means when he says that, right? But like, you're naive. Like, why? Tucker said, well, because you are. And it's like, yeah, it's true. I mean, they treat each other like shit, too. You think they're going to treat the goy, you know, in any way? Here's one, another one. Illegal Israeli settlers tamper with Palestinian water wells.
Yo, bitte, relativ.
I think it's funny.
They're just adding minerals, vital minerals to the well water. Turns out the trope are all true. And then people say, no, no, they're taking out the goat. Fuck you. Illegal Israeli settlers destroy Palestinian water wells in occupied West Bank. This is what they do. It was turn it around and twist it. And the other thing, too,
Tuesday
by the way,
solution,
by the
am video, I right?
The other thing about the other video we play there, too, is someone's like, oh, they're sanctioned by the British government, and oh, they're illegal. No one's doing shit.
Yeah.
No one is doing shit. If this was, you know, again, it's not even comparable. So I hate to use those terms, and I don't want to use the left-wing term, the anti-Zionist framing of this, that like, oh, they're the new Nazi Germany. Like, nothing like that happened. It wasn't even, you know, in fact, in the Weimar German era, the Germans were the Palestinians, if you know what I mean. Like, that's the correct framing. They were being occupied. They're being flooded, right? But the point is, nothing's happening. Nothing. No one's doing anything, right? So they're poisoning water wells. They're doing all this. Here's another one. They're just walking into a Palestinian's farm, and they empty their water tanks that's designed for their livestock and their cattle in order to get them to die of thirst, right?
Is making us lose all the water. He's opening the water system so he's wasting the water for people to drink.
I guess
for
the people too there.
He has a gun, and he's wasting all the water for people to drink, to give, and he put his foot there so that.
So if you step in the way to stop them, then they shoot you and kill you, and then the army shows up to be like, no, they're in the right, you know.
It's all on film.
Yep.
Like,
doesn't
we
matter.
Can see yep. It's happening. Yep. People are putting this online and nothing happens.
Nope. Nothing happens because we're Zionist occupied governments all over the West. Oh, this is a grave concern, a human rights violation. Oh, the UN is talking about it again, you know? Like, if it was Nazi Germany, they'd be fucking they did bomb them for these, you know, purported crimes against humanity. Did they do it in this case?
God, those people are just farming, just trying to survive, just minding their own business.
That's Amalek. Yeah, this is a religious
war. And even
that,
the level of hatred that they have for this farmer, you know, it's just like, they're amazing.
They see them as an occupier. They're on their land. That's what they're seeing, right? Anyway, listen to this lady here.
I am so fucking floored right now over this news.
This is... When you watch this, you realize this is just beginning to dawn on people of who we are dealing with here. What is this? Is an alien, totally foreign mind. This is a interdimensional monster.
And the coin drops where it's like, how could they be getting away with this?
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And I'm not trying to, it's not some supernatural thing, right? You know, if it bleeds, you can kill it, as people have said about, like, you know, monsters and, you know, things like this, and, you know, whether it's a movie or whatever. So it's not some supernatural, but I'm saying it's like the mentality is foreign. It's a different one. I don't know,
the story that came out today about Israel torturing a 10-month-old baby to get information out of his dad. There will come a day when people are going to look back on this and everything that's happening and everything that has happened, and people are going to be like, what the fuck were you guys doing? Like, how did you let this happen? It was like over a year ago that the IDF evacuated a hospital, and the healthcare workers were saying, like, we have to, like, get these babies out of the ICU. And the soldiers were like, no, like, you guys need to evacuate. Like, we'll take care of it. We'll get all of them out. And then when they finally let the press in and they went back to that hospital, there were literally fucking dead babies just laying in those beds with empty bottles next to them. Like, this fucking military, these soldiers are fucking brainwashed. Like, they will fucking leave babies to die. They will torture infants. Like, it's not just Netanyahu. It's not just the government. It's not just, like, a couple of crazy people in Israel. Like, this entire fucking military, their entire society is fucking sick.
Correct.
And then they are trying to tell us that Iran is, like, we should be scared of Iran. Like, that's our number one enemy. That's, like, the biggest threat in the world right now. Like, are you fucking insane? They have already, like, they're trying to do the same fucking thing in Lebanon that they've been doing in Gaza for years now. Like, well, the whole entire world just lets this happen. Like, they literally want to take over the entire fucking region and do the same thing and make us think that we need to be afraid of Iran and Lebanon. Like, literally do not fucking believe any of the propaganda that they are using to justify this. Like, they literally want to take over the entire fucking region and make it all theirs. Like, you're watching, like, modern day Hitler shit.
Oh, there we go. See, yeah.
No, he tried to stop these people.
That's the framing. That's the thing. It's like, no, now you're equating it to the guys that actually try to take care of this problem. Yeah. Are you?
Someone
hello,
needs
it's
to
2026.
Leave some comments in there.
Do you get it yet? No, that's how it's. Yeah. So, no. Everything. They
she's talking about brainwashing,
everything.
And then she's still brainwashed.
They lie about everything.
Yeah.
Oh, they lie about everything, including, obviously, the people that they see as an enemy. I mean, again, people are getting that now a little bit, right? Anyway, we don't have to play that. That's when they're handing over. Here's another one. A doctor.
We saw a number of children with sniper injuries to the head, single shot to the head, no other injuries.
Gaza,
so clearly deliberately targeted by Israeli snipers. So the drones would come down and pick off civilians, children. After description, this is not, you know, an occasional thing. This was day after day after day, operating on children who would say, I was lying on the ground after a bomb had dropped and this quadcopter came down and hovered over me and shot me. And that's a clearly a deliberate act, and it was a persistent act, persistent targeting of civilians day after day. We had one or two mass casualty incidents every day, and that meant 10 to 20 dead, 20 to 40 seriously injured. And the bullets that the drones fire are these small cuboid pellets, and I fished a number of those out of the abdomen of small children. I think the youngest I operated on was a 3-year-old who had a major injury to the artery in her neck. She died about 3 or 4 days later from infection. But what's happening to the children is appalling. How the women had all been lined up and been told to strip down to their underwear and made to stand for hours like that, which is deeply, deeply humiliating, particularly in that culture. And then when they told her she could go, they wouldn't give her her clothes back, so she had to run through the streets like that, which for her was extremely traumatic. So there's a consistent theme of attack, humiliation,
torture,
aggression.
Killing.
It's this... You know, for all my critiques of obviously like the UN, and ultimately it's an anti-white thing in and of itself. They're the ones advocated for replacement migration, right? So, but it's this like they're still trying to like kind of international diplomacy this thing, or like kind of if we can just prove yet again like how barbaric and what violation of human rights this was, something will happen. Like
nothing does.
You have to remove these people. They have to be removed. There is no other way. You have to remove them out of. We need a buffer zone from these people.
No
right?
Dual citizens. Just like there's no two-state solution here.
And it was the same thing as this one here.
Live with them.
I agree with her, obviously, up to that point, right? Like these are, you know, sick people or whatever. Again, you have some of these migrants that are displaced by Israeli wars, American neocon Zog wars, right? And they come in and they shove glass bottles up the rear end of teenage boys. They torture our kids. It's a disease. These people are diseased, right? It's a sickness. The Aryan spirit has to rise, and we have to take the responsibility back to be stewards of this civilization. Or this is going to be a planet of misery and torture and terror
at the hands of these people. That's just the reality. There's no other conclusion.
We can't continue to just sit and watch evil unfold and do nothing.
No, definitely. I don't think we have to play any. Here's more rabbi clips. Right, 6,000 years, and we're not attacking them. We're not doing anything. This is Amalek, and they have to be destroyed before the Moshiach comes. And it's okay.
They want to invade the world, but all I see is Israel trying to invade the world. Okay, that's what the evidence is showing us.
Yeah, and as they're doing these things, they're causing a backlash and an anger, and this is why. You know, you can poke Iran for just so many times and bomb them so many times. And it's like, whoa, will you look at
actually,
that?
They have to
now they're
themselves.
Bombing back. They're literally they're defending. They have a right to defend themselves. Two Israeli podcasters laugh while asking if anyone really cares whether the babies in Gaza get polio or not. It's this casual thing. Clips every single day. Israel is dropping bombs on tents packed with families in Gaza. These aren't military targets. These are displaced people with nowhere left to run. This is genocide. They're just eradicating and killing everyone. And then I go to the UN, and they demanded a Security Council thing because Iran supposedly were using cluster bombs or something. It's like, fuck, faggot. You've been doing this shit for like decades now. Like white phosphorus, cluster bombs, terrorist activities. You're blowing up our diplomats. You're murdering people. Fucking hell. Why does Israel have the right to nukes, but no other Middle Eastern country has the same right?
Sir.
Listen.
Everyone knows that Israel is a nuclear power. If you say no, Fanunu, who fled Israel to London, and he gave that important interview with the Times of London, and he was kidnapped back to Israel and was arrested for 18 years. Why Israel has the right to have to acquire nuclear weapons, but no other Middle Eastern countries has that same right? Thank you.
One should ask himself about every nation who is bringing stabilization to the area and who is bringing chaos. Israel is a stabilizing force in the region. We want peace.
Oh my God.
I would answer that.
History proves otherwise.
You hold up a mirror.
Wow.
There is no reflection.
No.
There is no. This is the vampire. That there is no reflection. There is no reasoning. There is no arguing. There is no logically trapping them, right? Israeli envoy, same goddamn annoying one here, defends New York UN Security Council with air raid siren. these tricks, right?
Oh, brother.
This is what we have to experience every... Well, maybe you shouldn't bomb the, Gazans, the people in Gaza then.
Siren, you have 15 seconds. 15 seconds to seek shelter. Think about that for one moment. 15 seconds. Imagine.
Yeah, it looks like these people were given
exactly.
Looks like these people were given 15 seconds.
Exactly.
How about that? Like all the crimes that you say is happening to you is things that you're doing to others.
Classic projection.
Some Semitic. Here's a clock. Here's the chart with the bomb.
Look at my trick right here.
Marketing ploy. Here's another one. Regarding the Holocaust card.
Why should the world tolerate you having nuclear weapons and not say Iran?
First, again, we never admitted to have such a weapons, but the very comparison is, I must say, it's very insulting, and I tell you why. We suffered one Holocaust. We listened to our neighbors.
Is it because of the Holocaust that you should be allowed to have nuclear weapons?
You know what? This interview was finished now. Your attitude is so hostile, and your questions are so arrogant, I don't want to speak to you anymore.
Is it the case that... Why?
This interview was finished now. The time thing, too? It was finished, which means that it eternally is finished. There is no now, there's no then, there's no past. It's all now.
Yeah.
Never is now. What is the slogan? Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Okay, let's do a couple
only
more
Jews
of these.
Have been persecuted or experienced hardships or a Holocaust.
Yes, of course. So this is kind of interesting. And I saw a bunch of these, again, the anti-Zionist kind of accounts that were reposting this story here. It's kind of a gotcha of the cruelty of Israel, or America also do then somehow. The UN has voted to recognize the slave trade as, quote, the gravest crime against humanity, unquote, and also called for reparations to the countries impacted. The UK, France, and other member states abstained from voting on this, whilst the US, Israel, and Argentina opposed the proposal. Right? DD geopolitics, these the tankies, whatever they are, there's like some commie, just cringe, anti-Western, anti-white outlet, you know, DD geopolitics, all the other people, like, what's his name again, Alan McLeod, Mint Press News.
Which Zionist, is the, Zionist, Zionist, he'll never say Jews.
No,
even though exactly, he'll, like, never, tweet nonstop about people who are Jews, but then he'll never actually say it.
They're too cowardly.
Yeah.
Richard Medhurst, there's just a slew of them, Sidney Webb, right? It's always... And he's Israel, Netanyahu, Israel, yeah. Like, but they do not understand the deeper. They will, you know, maybe even if they criticize the religion, they won't tie it to ethnicity, right? Kind of thing. They just won't go there. But so obviously the.
Can I just point out, like, yes. Is this the most important thing that the UN needs to sit and vote on?
Let's agree.
Can we just all agree on paper here that the slave trade, you know, which they just think it just blacks here, let's be honest, just blacks. Like, that's the worst crime in all of humanity, enslaving blacks. Can we just get a vote on that real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so this is a gotcha, right? But obviously the reason why Israel voted no is because they know who's behind it, right?
That's the thing, right?
They know who owned the ships. They know who owned the slave markets. They know who profited the most from this. And America, I think, in this case of voting no, is just to be dragged along with it, right? At the height of American slavery, 78% of slave owners were ethnic Jews. Right? We know this way. Wealthy Jews who are making tons of money on it. Of course, meanwhile, other African nations have already apologized for their role in it, too. Because they're the ones who kidnapped other blacks, gave them to Muslims, the Muslim gave them to Jews or sold them to Jews, and then the Jews who own the ships and the slave markets, like in Charleston, South Carolina, for example, right? They go on and make the profit on it. The few white men that did buy them, it was many, but there was a few who did.
Small percentage, yeah.
They paid the equivalent of 10 to 20 years salary at that time for these slaves. It wasn't free labor. There's nothing
free. And they didn't debowl them like the Muslims did.
Like the Muslims did. Imagine the cost for
that.
And
it's still going, by the way, slavery, as we know. Still going in Africa today.
It is. UN calls for reparations to remedy the historical wrongs of trafficking enslaved Africans.
And they'll never admit that whites were slaves. Everyone has been a slave on this. Every race has experienced slavery on this planet at some point.
Yeah, I guess that was my kind of, okay, get ready to cash in, right?
Mm-hmm.
White cargo, the forgotten history of Britain's white slaves in America, so you got that. Christian slaves, Muslim masters, white slavery in the Mediterranean and the Barbary Coast and Italy, 1500s to 1800s. No one's talking about that. White gold, 1.25 million European slaves erased from memories. White women, sex slaves, yeah. Right up the coast.
Very obvious. Like, look, they're
Ireland
still trying to do that
England
shit today.
And, you know, other European countries. When Europeans were slaves, research suggests white slavery was much more common than previously believed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give us some money.
And I remember there
payments.
Was some book that Let's a Jew it. Wrote actually owning, like, hey, we need to admit our role in the slave trade, right? Like, it was a big one, and we need to admit to it and apologize to it. And then he got attacked and shut down by these Jews. You can't talk about that. Shh.
Yeah.
That's what happened to him.
Yep, of course. All right, moving on a couple more here. Hatzala, right? The Shumrim stuff. We talked about this, the attacks in the UK. They can LARP as their own police force here. Shumrim. Why can't I play that in full screen? I just want to play it in full screen, please. There we go. Okay, here it is. And is this... I heard some, you know...
It's
news
amazing.
Reports about it or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, it's a volunteer emergency service kind of thing, right?"
Yeah, let's see Patriot Front try that in America. Try and set up their own little, you know, police force. It'd just be, we're just securing the streets, keeping an eye on our fellow man. See what happens.
They're like a kind of a glorified like security agency, but they can. Oh, obviously, this is meant to look like it's the police. Look at the colors
sure
they
does.
Use. Look at it's the same design, just it says Shumrim as opposed to police in the
like
bottom.
Like it's legit, it's and official, yeah. And government backed. Right?
It's like it's actually a crime to like try to pose as police. But in this case, no, they're specialists. They need it. And it's like a news report I saw about it was like, oh, they're offering free ambulance services to the community, you know, and then they're like. And most of the people in that community are Jews. Yeah, so they just this is for them. This is their own thing. This is so they can, like, steal your organs or something and sell them on the black market. Anyway. Jewish leader Levi Shapiro, acting visibly distraught in the wake of the ambulance arson, this is in London, this is at Golders Green in London, demands anti-Israel hate marches be banned and the phrase globalized intifada be criminalized in the name of Jewish safety. GB News.
On Monday morning, what's the reaction been amongst the Jewish community in London?
Thank you so much. Good morning, Miriam and Andrew. It's sad to be back again talking about another attack on the community. And unfortunately, you can imagine the mood in the community is very sad at the moment. I had yesterday a elderly Holocaust survivor in the community crying on the phone to me, asking me, Levi, what's going to be? This is not the Britain, the tolerant Britain, who remembers. This is the scenes from the 1940s and Auschwitz-Birkenau, you know, Jewish people being violently attacked.
Wow.
And these are obviously keeping him awake at night. And this is happening now on his doorstep here in London. And you can imagine the feeling across the wider community. So that's a very serious problem.
Levi, I'm so sorry to hear that when you think what that man lived through, to think that he's now having sleepless nights in what was supposed to be a great country of bastion of freedom. But we talked to Stuart Polak here. You will know Stuart Polak. He's from the Conservative.
Yeah, white people are so free going to jail for putting up stickers. It's okay to be white.
Of leaving Britain, moving to Israel or somewhere else. How do you feel personally?
Oh, no.
No, I am concerned. I mean, many people are having a discussion about, do we have a future in Britain?
No, you don't. Time for you to go.
Yep. In modern Britain, in a country which is supposed to be a tolerant a country, a society for everyone. But unfortunately, that's not that is not the way people see it at the moment. And on that point, I think what needs to happen is there needs to be a political consensus.
All this because one ambulance got set on fire.
Political consensus to tackle.
Hey, no. There were 6 million of them, okay? So then there's pressure here. The U.S. anti-Semitism czar, Rabbi Yehuda Kaplan, says that the U.K. finally replaced these Hatzolah or Shumrim ambulances after the United States pressured the U.K.
Oh, my God.
So they basically just, here's three that burn. Here, you get here, take these four. Listen.
I will tell you that we'll just give you a little bit of what today has been like. At 7:30 in the morning, we had a conference.
It's international outrage. Here's all the conservagoys like Scott Jennings, who has to get, you know, show. All right, he's a commentator on CNN. This guy, he's like the to go to Trump guy on CNN now. You know, after the supposed like remake or trying to get CNN more balanced. Anyway, so he's been a good goy here, and he's following the story very. This is an international outrage that these three ambulances. Remember that time that also that one time that someone, a yarmulke fell off their head? Do you remember that? Yes. These are serious crimes here, all right?
All with all the ambassadors, special envoys globally to combat anti-Semitism to discuss the growing trends. We had conversations with different ambassadors in countries that have had anti-Semitic attacks after that. We met with a delegation of students from the UK today. We've met with three ambassadors who have actively trying to educate their countries to use best practices that we have in our country to go against hate. And that's just where, and then we're doing a radio show with you. So your listeners can hear that we are actively busy. Afterwards, we have two more ambassadors coming into the State Department today. We have some dinner meetings with two different dinner meetings with groups that are actively working to combat anti-Semitism. The days are full, but the difference is we can see actual results that we're working every day to make Americans safer globally, to make Jewish Americans feel free wherever they are, that they're going to be protected by their government.
So
and for example, even today, after the terrible attack in England yesterday, that four ambulances were, you know, burned by a group of radical youth. The English government today, at the request of, you know, our ambassador and our team and our secretary, they're replacing them with four new ambulances to show that they're trying to be serious about combating hate. They have a long way to go to protect their citizens. The fact that these incidents can occur,
it's always a long way to go.
But we're hopeful that people will be educated to be better humans. And
educated
all of humanity
to be better.
Will...
We need to be better humans, everyone. That's what's going on.
Says
here.
The people torturing, you know, little babies.
And of course, who's at fault here? Because I think we were talking about the Western border, right? Like, what's the ethnic bounds of the people walking up? Like, were they white? Well, we got an insight of who's responsible here.
Ambulances belonging to a Jewish charity were set on fire in London on Monday. In the past 24 hours, a group claiming to have ties to Iran took responsibility.
Right! That's it! I have had enough!
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Iran did this.
Iran so far away.
We need to bomb Belgium. There's military out on the streets in Belgium to protect Jews now. When we talk about this, we said that the only way to keep a multiracial, multi-ethnic, multi-religious society together, glued together, is by actually having military in the streets. So yeah. What you're looking at now is the future. I mean, Belgium is always like kind of, that's what the EU wants, the Talmudic values that Ursula von der Leyen is talking about. That's Belgium, right? There's like that, the epitome. That's the state that can hold, you know, the EU parliament. That's where the trends are the furthest along. And so this is what it's going to look like in every European country. Look at this. Armed soldiers deployed to guard Jewish sites in Belgium.
Billy Frades sent $10. The first slave master was a black man
name
of Anthony Johnson in 1655.
That's right.
Google or YouTube Anthony Johnson slave master.
Yeah, he was pretty proud of it too.
That's right. I was going to say it, then it's like I can go on and on about this,
make
who's
sense.
Responsible
it would
and
make
whatnot.
Sense,
but yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that, Bill Frank.
Very happy. It's time that they see what's going on. Last night they burned 4 Jewish ambulances. They see it's has to be done. There's no other option.
The move comes after an explosion.
We always need.
There's some explosion. Yeah, who's doing terrorism and explosion?
To have
in our
a protection to have for security.
Some Semite, I would assume. It's not Europeans. I know that. It's not actual Belgian people.
I feel like I'm in the movie Groundhog's Day, and it's just this same thing repeating, and we can't get out of it.
Well, it's because we're not learning the lesson. We've done this now 109, well, technically it's thousands of times that we've done this now. And we're not, but this is my point here, is we are not taking our responsibility, and that's why this keeps happening to us. White man, the Aryan mind, needs to step up and take responsibility collectively here, or this is going to be spiraling nightmare of continued.
Got to put the brains together.
Like this.
We need security for our children. For the schools,
but not the kids that are raped in our countries and gang raped and groomed and have bottles shoved up their rear ends. No,
it's not a priority.
It doesn't matter to us. We don't care about that. Send in your military, and secure the safety of Jews.
We need to be louder.
Yep.
About white people and having a coalition that's looking out for our people and being loud about it, just like every other race has.
Need. Institutional fuck you money to set up like these interest groups and think tanks
yes.
and lobby groups and all kinds of stuff and the white collectively
all
we're trying. There's many other people like us screaming at the top of their lungs to do this and they're moving in that direction, but at the end of the day, without any type of serious kind of like
manpower and resources
kind of tapped into that, it's not going to happen, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean it's impossible, and there's much more to say about that. But what I'm saying is, currently, it's still not really happening. Doesn't mean that people are not trying, and good for them for trying, right? Anyway, back to the clip.
Movements of children must be totally protected when they have any communitarian activity, and so we are asking for that anytime, especially now because we are very much concerned. Before the attack, but certainly more since the attack in Liège. And so we need that. We are somehow reassured, but we are never without concern.
We are never without concern. Yeah,
that's right.
We know. It's just constant about it. So again, let's go back to the America here, right? The pressure from Zog and America on Europe and European countries and NATO and all this stuff, right? Like being under the thumb of this regime. And of course, we have our own European leaders who are under the pressure of these groups as well. So it's not like that. But here's, again, U.S. anti-Semitism czar Kaplun saying that U.S. pushed Belgium to deploy military in order to combat anti-Semitism. Look at this.
You can see certain results, even one that happened today because of the president's efforts in combating anti-Semitism globally, is that in meetings with Ambassador Bill White and myself at the direction of the Secretary of State, you know, Marco Rubio, an incredible individual in his own right.
That's what they spend their time
from
on.
The president.
Giving
we
free
were in
ambulances.
Belgium two weeks ago discussing an increase in security after the synagogue had been firebombed in a town in Belgium. And the Belgian government agreed to increase security by bringing the military to protect Jewish institutions. As a result of that action, today, when there was an attack on a Jewish institution and Jewish businesses, the military that had just stepped in literally 3 days ago was able to apprehend two of the three perpetrators and find out that they are linked to Iranian terror groups. So these are things that are...
What a coincidence! Coinky-dink!
Let me give you a goy wow here.
Being actively involved and the Secretary of State being actively involved...
That's really impressive, Jew.
And holding governments accountable for how they are and what they're doing to combat anti-Semitism. The commitment is as clear as day that this administration will not tolerate people who are anti-Semitic.
Yeah. All right. So here's the other one.
This guy claims to be... views mass migration as a primary driver of anti-Semitism, but...
Who?
The guy that was just talking there.
Kaplun?
Yeah. That's what he claims.
Yeah, you did that.
Exactly.
Anti-Semitism benefits them. Keep that in mind.
But white nationalism is also bad, so.
So here's this, the pinnacle here now where the white policeman has to, you know, keep the peace. Well, I mean, he's not really actually siding with the Jews here. But here's Jews confronting an Al Jazeera news crew who was in Golders Green there after the ambulances were burned, and this is how this looked like.
You don't feel safe.
Now you can go. Go take your briefcase, go take your Al Jazeera equipment and go. No one needs Al Jazeera. No one wants Al Jazeera over here.
You don't decide.
No one wants your people in the office.
So don't attack me.
Yes, but your people don't attack me. You work for the people you work for. The people
don't attack me.
I don't know who you are. I don't know who you work for. I don't know about you, but I know the person. Go. Al Jazeera should go away.
Motives.
Come back to Qatar.
Of course.
You represent
an entity that has
questions. Equatorial money, am I right?
I think, by the way, Al Jazeera was like set up with CIA funds, by the way, too. Speaking of which, but anyway,
Kim Min-hoon,
or you will be moved.
No.
Straight away, community tribalism in their faces, antagonistic, pushing each other.
Two
and then
gangs.
It's like here's a syringe with some chemical in that like paralyzed one of the here, and then there's a bomb that they blame. Here's someone dressed up to look like an Iranian proxy and blew up a bomb to get. It's this nonstop subversion and tricks, and just it's just exhausting to just have to be around these people. Can we have some fucking peace? This now London has to sort out these Semitic
squabbles,
right?
For their dumb desert religions.
Calm down. Security.
Is that the white man?
British police.
There's the goyim. Yeah,
calm down.
Calm down, Semites. I'm here to help.
Al Jazeera is not wanted here. Please move on. You're facing fear in the community.
Let's call it a community when it's all Jews.
Yep.
We don't need Al Jazeera over here.
Go home! Go home!
Go home!
Al Jazeera off our streets! Al Jazeera off our streets! Al Jazeera off our streets!
Jews and Muslims off our streets.
Yep, that's right. Go home, all of you. Not yours. and it was a white woman.
Yeah, look out, you're going to get raped in a minute.
I think the police. Here we go. That's the scene I want to show here. So and Bobby shows up here.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Reporting the news. Okay. It's not going to work. Arrest the guy putting up the stickers, but this is fine. Put Sam Melia in jail for putting up stickers that said this is happening. You know, this is the problem stuff.
At this point here, you feel threatened, just want people to move on.
That's all it is in the UK now, is a white guy just trying to separate all these nons.
All these different races fighting with each other. And then between the two of the most disagreeable, annoying, and just like impossible ethnic groups to handle in the world,
they
are like
now this tiny island.
It's going to be right there fighting over these things, and then the white police Bobby is going to have to try to sort this out somehow. It's just, I don't know. But Jews are victims of
unsustainable
in the business world.
Apparently. Okay, this is an environmental threat.
Yep. Okay, we got a couple. Which one would you want to end on here?
Well, all of this is happening, but the Pope is saying that he just had a statement that Satanism is growing. Yeah, Pope Leo, the 267th Pope, he held this private audience at the Vatican with representatives from the International Association of Exorcists. Been a while since I've seen that movie. And presented a report claiming, I'd love to see this report, claiming Satanism, and I guess demon possession, is growing because of people's involvement in occultism, esotericism, and then he puts Satanism in that. So they specifically pointed to the painful and increasingly widespread situation of people seriously disturbed by the extraordinary action of the devil as a result of frequenting occult sex. Okay, well, let's talk about the Epstein's running the world. Let's talk about decades of liberalism destroying people's minds. But what does he define as occult and esoteric practices? I went and looked. Fortune telling, psychics, astrology, using tarot cards. Okay.
Burn at the stake, people, in a moment now.
People who use astrology and tarot cards. This is
clearly
Satanism.
The biggest problem
this is
right
the
now.
Biggest threat. One of the biggest threats, right? And then magic and spell casting. You know, someone in the woods just doing like some little, I don't know, some little ritual, right, with her amulets or relying on an omen or any kind of like pagan festival. All of that, it's Satanism. This is the biggest threat. You know, bring out the exorcism. Let's burn people on the stake again. Haven't we seen this before? It's amazing that this is coming back. Let's talk about the crimes the Catholic Church, organized Catholic Church, has been involved in. Let's talk about the pedophiles in your ranks. Mm-hmm. Is this not monstrous and evil? Is this
anything
not
anything to deflect
satanic?
From Epstein and the Jews, I guess, to a certain extent, right?
Oh, my gosh. And then we had, who is it? Francois Poli will become the new chairman of the Vatican Bank. He's currently president of some Luxembourg, I don't know, financing company, and a former managing director of Edmund D. Rothschild Group.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's not a problem, the Rothschild shit going on with Israel and all that. No.
Yeah, and then you have the other side that's just blaming the Vatican for everything.
Right? Which is dumb and equally dumb and cringe, too. I mean, they're a new. I get that they're a neutered institution, and that's kind of like more of a bug of everything. Like, fight over someone doing, like, divination or astrology at this point, as opposed to, like, actually trying to deal with the actual, like, genocide and issues that are actually happening. It's just desperate to stay relevant, I guess, to a certain extent.
Well, and I think that's what they're doing with this Archbishop, too, of Canterbury, who is enthroned. I hate that. First female Archbishop, right? Sarah Mullally just became the first woman to serve as Archbishop of Canterbury. Why this throne? It's always this throne, like you're some god or some royal we all have to bow to. So she's a former chief nursing officer for the NHS, married to an Irish man, has two adult kids. Replace Justin Welby, who was protecting pedophiles in the church. That's why
he was.
He was
part Jewish, by the way.
Oh, he was?
His dad. Remember, there was a whole story about that?
So I think that she's kind of the woman who's coming to save face, right? Like, oh, no, it's all fine now. It's all clean now. We've got this hardcore, progressive, anti-white values lady, champions radical, inclusive faith. She said that it is profoundly unchristian to not accept immigrants, and we have to look at the migrant crisis like that. She also supports assisted suicide. Well, good church-going lady. She played actually a key role in debates on assisted dying because she was a chief nursing officer. So what's really changing by having her here? Nothing. Well, it's the same stuff.
As usual, an institution that's so lost in its own navel-gazing that they have to try to, like, say that, I don't know, astrology is back. And then that will make us relevant or something, that they're so kind of far behind, right? Of like, I mean, I think it's intentional, but like intentionally deflecting on issues, keeping people distracted, essentially. Look, I know the Vatican is not the same, obviously, as the Anglican Church, so it's two different things, but there is a mild link. The Anglican is kind of like, was an attempt at kind of like bridging Catholicism and Protestantism, although it is leaning more Protestantism than it does, you know, Catholic. But the point is, they're 10, 20, 30, 40 years behind, right? They're steeped in tradition and backwards, so they think, let's just put women and brown people in there at the head of these religious institutions, and that will make people come to the church, right? That will appeal to people, you know what I mean? Well, good. Let it crumble. Let it fall apart. You know what I mean? Like, let it burn. Keep doing it. You're doing a great job. You know what I mean? It's like the wrapping in the German Catholic churches. You know, they think this is going to, like, bring people in or something like that. So yes. I would assume that's the signaling they have to do by putting a whammons in there.
Yes.
Now. Yeah.
Yes, of course. All right. And then back home, I mean, this is a big segment. I guess we can get into it later. But back home, Jews at the Daily Wire are concerned about Catholicism growing because of some of the anti-Zionist sentiments found among some of the young Catholics. But when you get down to a lot of the stats, and as I was looking, approximately 60% of all U.S. Catholics under 18 are Hispanic. Right. So the future of the Catholic Church in America is brown.
Give me the percentage again.
It's approximately 60% of all U.S. Catholics under 18 are Hispanic. Right. Now, when you look at Protestants, it's predominantly white. It's very white.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some of the black, you know, Baptists and other sects and all that, but it's predominantly white.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, Catholicism is a new fad kind of in America for the most part. It was more, it used to be more Protestantism first. But yeah, the major growth is within because of the demographic changes that are happening too, opening the borders to Mexicans and having decades of it open, right? So
it's true that most of them don't care about Jewish Jewish state.
It's true. I think so that goes hand in hand.
That is an issue.
It.
So
it's
yes,
not, it's not a, they're not doing it out of like awareness of the issues.
Yeah.
It's just like it's like a brown thing. You know? Like they perceive Israel as like some white supremacist country or something.
Exactly.
Like that,
but so it's like, okay, so they see they're anti-Zionist, but they don't care about white demographics and white replacement, all these, brown Hispanic Catholics, mm-mm, right? Mm-mm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I had so many stats and things, and I were running out of time, like Protestants, Catholics, and all that, and what's going on in that scene. But overall,
you can go through them real quick if you want to.
Okay. Yeah, well, sure. Ahead. We could. So they're talking about how it's growing, right? So the global Catholic population reached 1.4 billion in 2023. So it's up now a plus 1.15% increase. Okay, so
and that's
Catholics
basically because
are,
of the population increases in like Africa and stuff.
Yes,
right?
So yeah. Raising Catholics to 17.8% of the global population. The numbers are actually declining in Latin America. They're shifting to Protestantism or unaffiliated, so just dropping religion. Africa, fastest growth at plus 3.3%. Now 20% of all Catholics worldwide are black. Americas, there has been a growth, the largest share, 47.8% of global Catholics. A majority of them are in Brazil. The country with the most Catholics, right? So obviously this isn't a race first thing. This is a religion first thing. North America, yeah, there's been some growth, high Catholic percentages in countries like Argentina, Colombia, Paraguay. So 19 to 20% of U.S. adults identify as Catholic, which is 50 to 53 million adults. 50% of those are whites, and then the rest are Latino. So immigrants and their kids make up 43% of U.S. Catholics. Mostly Hispanic. Gen Z Catholics, the one that self-identify as Hispanic. I hate that, self-identify. Hispanic, Latino, let's see, 18%. So the future of the Catholic Church is brown, okay? I think that's great that they're anti-Zionist, but they're not us. By the way, I saw in a Pew Research March 2025, they said 53% of U.S. Catholics had an unfavorable view of Israel, 45% favorable. So there is a divide. There's a divide there. And anti-Zionist internet Catholics are still a very small minority. That's not the norm, like a lot of the cool base Catholics that we know. They still have problems when they go to their church. They still get kicked out. They're still, you're racist, you're an anti-Semite. They get denounced by their own, right? The church's official view is to support a two-state solution. They condemn anti-Semitism. I mean, we see this across the board with religion. So I think that overall, the summary, you know, Catholics got excited about this, but the church is expanding numerically, but it's mostly in the global south. While in European countries, it's completely declining, Catholicism, and even Latin America is seeing some, you know, retention. So it is a geographic shift that's going southward. It's not like this global boom. And then I was looking at the Protestants. So evangelical Protestants make up 40% of U.S. adults, 70% white, not Hispanic. So it's an even more white movement. Mainline Protestants are 11% of all U.S. adults, 79% white. Total white Protestants make up around 25 to 26% of the U.S. adult population. And Protestant teens and young adults are still majority white overall. Also slowly declining as America is getting more brown. Protestants make up 40% of America, Catholics 19%. Now, I wonder the age of a lot of those Protestants, too, like how many are actually boomers versus teens? What's going to happen when they die off? What's going to happen with the Protestant church? How is, you know, is anti-Zionism ever going to creep into? I know it is already in some Protestant churches, but not mainline Protestants. Not at all.
Well, they got a hook in you. You know what I mean?
Yep. I mean, white people are in these traps. They're in the traps of organized religion. I mean, you could be spiritual and believe in God without being hooked into these institutions, which are, they're anti-white. They're not working to save white people. They're not working to fight against mass immigration. They're enabling these things. We're losing many of our own in these systems. And they feel because of their doctrine, you know, their doctrine, their Christian doctrine and their leaders, that it's morally wrong to be white first. And that is something that fundamentally needs to change if we're going to take some control and have some white first institutions.
Well, that's why I think they don't fear it for that reason. And they know that ultimately, at least if they're that, they won't be turning explicitly white, pro-white or something like that. And it won't really be a kind of a solution within it. I mean, again, it's just like Ben Shapiro. They might have had that headline you showed there about like some concern for Catholicism or something. But Ben Shapiro is the first one who tells you go to church, you know, because it's beneficial to Israel and Jews ultimately. Because now they have a hook in you, right? A pathway in essentially to like, yeah, that's right. We're your spiritual elders, right? Mm-hmm. You only have. I mean, it's the graph that we showed. I guess I have to show it again, but it was like Jews Max. I remember they were pulling the logic of like how the progression had gone. Oh, I gotta find it. Here it is. You remember that one? Of like, it's Judaism, and that's why you have America right there. You know, kind of
thing. Yeah, that's right.
Here's Western civilization right here. You know, kind of thing. And what I'm saying is, sure, you can debate. Obviously, there's like, well, that's, you know, Western civilization is like Greco-Roman, you know, Germanic, it's European, it has nothing to do with Jews, you know, kind of thing, right? Which, of course, is correct, right? It's correct that it's Greco-Roman and European more than it is Judaic, but they can argue the point, and it will be, many people will believe that then, therefore. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. The problem still persists. Just because it's the truth, or in this case, just because it's wrong doesn't mean it's not working, you know what I mean? So that's how they get you. That's the problem with it too.
Yeah, this is why we have to run on folk first, white first, putting our people first. This correct. Needs to happen.
Correct.
These religious squabbles. We can't be like, you know, Semites here.
Right. Yeah, I had maybe after Flash or something tomorrow. Found some more interesting things. I just wanted to try to figure out how widespread the Jewish, Judaic, Hebrew adoption and plagiarization of other mythologies really were, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's extensive, but there's one guy, and I actually invited him to the show. I'm not sure if he'll come on or not, but he did an interesting
segment of just like, I put it up on our Telegram today. It was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that one. I knew about other things like the Ark and stuff comes from like, you know, Epic of Gilgamesh and, you know, like Babylonian stories, Egyptian stories. But then the Jews in the ancient world, they're like, oh, let's take that one and we'll take this one and we'll take that one and this and the Greek mythology and some Mithras. And then we'll kind of like mush it together, make it our own, claim it that we came up with all these stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was like about Jacob's story of him being thrown into the well or something, but it's like an old Indo-Aryan Vedic story.
They rip
like
things
the
off
map
and just
that,
put
like,
Jewish stuff on it.
Entirely, you know, basically. So anyway, there's things like that. The point is we don't need a simulacrum. We don't need a plagiarized version of these myths. You know what I mean? We have them in our own stories. Again, I'm not coming down on the myth. I'm coming down on the forgery of the myth, I guess, or the adaptation that like, no, the myth is ours and it came through us, which is not true, which disproves that graph right there that they're showing. Judaism is the foundation, if you will, then of Judaism. Step that down one more, right, of the pyramid. Then you can show Greek, Roman, Germanic, Egyptian, Celtic, Vedic, like Zoroastrianism, like all these other, you know, Babylonian, all these other civilizations that's like basically were had portions of them copied into what became Judaism, which laid the foundation for the new wave, which later on, you know, when they had radical rabbinical traditions try to do a new reboot when they came up with, you know, Christianity at that point, right? Early, the new wave, they call it at the time, to try to reform it. But you wouldn't have any of those things if it wasn't for the foundation of the world myths. And all those were pagan, by the way. All the civilizations they copied from and their stories and stuff, all of them were like from the ancient world, the ancient civilization of the great
stories.
Ancient civilizations of this world.
We should redo that pyramid.
Was that?
We should redo that pyramid and add that fifth bar.
I've thought about doing like turning that into a meme and doing like tons of different versions of it.
I should,
because it's funny.
God is within, folks. It's not in Judaism, okay? Our gods are within.
Find God in any of that shit right there. Anyway, okay, guys, so I think we're gonna wrap up right there. That's our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us, Lana. Appreciate your time. You won't be sitting in tomorrow, but of course I'll be back with Flashback Friday. Where's my graph at? I guess it's not there. I'm gonna have Mark Collett joining me for the first hour, and I'm gonna have Matt Bracken joining me for the second part of the show to talk, you know, again, him as a Navy SEAL, ex-Navy SEAL guy. He's been keeping a keen eye on what this invasion land U.S. boots on the ground in Iran. What one of the islands? Which one is it? I think it's slated to be a disaster. It's going to be a shit show that we haven't seen before. Because I mean, are they going to accept Iran's terms of them taking control of Hormuz? If they don't, then they have to use force, and that means that at some point they're going to have to try to physically control that area. How are you going to do that? 5 decades again of just having... Anyway, it's a total clown show. So we'll talk with Matt Bracken about that more tomorrow, obviously. But yeah, thank you guys. We appreciate
you. Thank you.
Get a membership. As I said, if you do tune in tomorrow, do not use entropy tomorrow. If you're watching Flashback Friday and want to donate to the show tomorrow, do not use entropy. Where's my graph board here? Because they didn't pay out. So again, if you're just watching live and didn't hear the first part of the show, no payouts from Entropy since January. They lost their payment processor and they kind of fubbed this up altogether by not letting us know in due times. So we kept using it when we didn't really have to. So we're trying out a couple of new options. Obviously, use Rumble, use PowerChat, but donorbox.org/redicetips is really the best way to go. Please consider supporting us and helping us out because we have lots of money in Entropy that's not being paid out for 2 months. So we appreciate your support. We need it, and we want to be able to continue doing this. It's only up to you guys. We're only here because of you guys. We're audience supported. We don't have, we don't push VPN ads on you or ads for buying, you know, gold or some gambling website or shit like this, right? We respect you too much for that, but we are audience supported, and when you sign up for a membership, if you want to support us that way, we give you something back. You get Western Warriors, second hour of many of the interviews that we do, exclusive videos, After Flash, stuff like that. So it's something in return as well. We're not just asking something from you. Of course, another way you can support us as well is to go to lanaslama.com, get a t-shirt, get a mug, get a hoodie, get a keychain, get something for the kiddos, maybe, Folk First shirt. We have onesies, a hat. Those are great ways to support us as well. lanaslama.com. You can also go to redeyes.tv/store if you want to get these the links to lanaslama.com. Last year's inventory, if you used Flashback Friday 50 coupon code, you get 50% off. That's all the t-shirt in the last year's inventory.
That's right.
So not the top portions up here. These are new inventory, but everything else t-shirt-wise is 50% off if you use Flashback Friday 50. So we're going to clear out some of that inventory. So get an Outlander Rouse or the Old Folk First, that Fatigue or Green one. We got stuff there for you guys, so check that out.
Hey guys, thanks.
Okay, I want to say thank you to our executive producers as well. I know you need to get going here, Lana, but let me just do this real quick. You're going to pop out? Okay, thanks. So we want to say thanks to King Albert Arctic Wolf. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you so much. We got William Fox from America First Books. We also have Angry White Soccer Mom. Thank you for your support. Purple Haze, also one of our executive producers. Thank you. We appreciate you. We got Glenn as well. Thank you for your support, Glenn. Much appreciated. We have President Obunga. Thank you for your support. We also have Good Luck Lab. Thank you to you. And then we got Number One Jeebs. We appreciate your support as well. Also, thanks to Hungarian Mom for being an executive producer. We got Sun Destroyer 520. Thank you for your support. Can't do this without you guys. We appreciate you. The Deplorable Extraordinaire, thank you for your support as well. Also, thank you to Santoso for being an executive producer. We appreciate you. We got the Boo Man. Thank you, Boo Man. Appreciate your support as well. Also, last of our executive producer, but not least, Charles Turner Jr. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. Then we got our producers as well. Red Pill Rundown, Johansson, Lero Demand, Ice Open, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute. We got Greg M., J. Barr, Chris W., we got Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Joseph W., Citizen Intel, and Ernst Jaeger. Excuse me. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for being a producer. And, of course, thanks to our executive producers as well. Get your name in the credits. Get a special shout-out from us here at Red Eyes. Help us grow, expand, and do well. Get a producer or an executive producer tier over at redeyesmembers.com, subscribestar.com/redeyes. All right, thank you guys, appreciate you. So yeah, we'll be back here then with more tomorrow for Flashback Friday. Tune in to that. It's gonna be some good stuff with Mark Collett and Matt Bracken, and we got some I think interesting stuff for After Flash tomorrow as well that we're working on. So thank you guys. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everybody. Do get a membership, please. Help us out, support us. It's vital. It's very important. RedEyesMembers.com. You can also do it on Locals. If you're watching on Rumble, just click join down below. You can watch the members content right there on our Locals. You can do it on Subscribestar.com/RedEyes as well. Only $10 a month helps us tremendously, and we appreciate you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow for much more. Until then, folk first. We'll have a good night. See you later. Bye.